Good evening. It is 6:35. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm news reporter Ed Ronco, and tonight, in place of the wonderful swing set, we're going to bring you a wonderful candidate forum. In the studio tonight, we have the five candidates for Sitka Assembly. They will be fielding the four candidates at the moment. We'll get to that in a second. They're going to be fielding your questions until 8 p.m., and you can ask them in any number of ways. In the studio are Michelle Putz, Matt Hunter, Phyllis Hackett, and Aaron Swanson. Dallas Peavy sends his apologies. He called just a little while ago under the weather, and sounds like it too. So, Dallas, we hope you feel better. Sorry you can't join us tonight. If you have a question for the Assembly candidates, you can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can visit our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Raven Radio. We're monitoring that right here in the studio. You can tweet your questions to at Raven Radio, or you can just give us a call. Ask your question on the air. The number here is 747-5877. Of course, when you do call, we ask that you please turn down your radio so we can hear what you're saying. Tonight's event is not a debate. It's not a fight to the rhetorical death or anything. It is just a question and answer panel. And these people want to represent you on the Sitka Assembly. And this is your chance to find out exactly how they would do that. There are no strict time limits, but we have asked the candidates to keep things relatively succinct tonight so that everybody has a chance to answer. And before we start in on questions, I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves. We'll begin on my left with Mr. Aaron Swanson. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Aaron Swanson. I'm running for Assembly. I was born in Sitka, and I moved to Wisconsin and moved back about 7 years ago.
Good evening. This is Phyllis Hackett. I am currently an Assembly member. I've lived in Sitka for 40 years, not my entire life, but sort of close, I like to think. Anyway, that's about it for me, starting at Hame Center as the director tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Matt Hunter. I was born and raised here in Sitka, and I teach at Mount Edgecombe High School. And it's a pleasure to be here. I've enjoyed the campaigning so far.
And I'm Michelle Putz. I have lived here since 2005, although we came to the Tongass National Forest where I work back in 1989 and came through Sitka back then. So glad to be back and glad to be running for Assembly.
You know, I want to begin with, before we get into individual city issues, I want to begin by asking you, for some of you, it is not your first campaign. For some of you, it is. What do you learn when campaigning? What has it been like kind of going around and talking to voters? What are the issues they're telling you about? Let's begin with Michelle.
I did do this a couple of years ago, and it was interesting visiting with individuals, went around to homes, actually, and talked to people and got their ideas on issues. It's interesting to realize how supportive the community really is. And then this year I've been going around to businesses and really learned a lot, because that's something I had not thought to do last time, and have learned a lot from those folks. So it's interesting.
Yeah, Matt Hunter, what's the campaign process been like?
It's been very interesting. I've been attending a lot of the Assembly meetings, and I've learned a lot about a lot of issues that, or I'd say day-to-day city business items that I hadn't really put much thought into, when to buy a new copy machine for the police department, for example, or the state of the roads and how we're going to fund them. So it's been a learning process, and I find that fascinating and rewarding because I love Sitka, and the more I have to do with it, the more it turns out I love this place.
Phyllis Hackett, campaign, what's it like?
It's challenging. Campaign is very challenging for me. It's my third campaign here in Sitka, and I find it hard to get out there and talk about myself. I talk to a lot of people. I always talk to a lot of people about the issues here in Sitka, and I would say that people's number one concern is the state of the economy here and their ability to be able to support their families and make a living here, and questioning what's going to happen in the future, how we're going to take care of our needs.
Aaron Swanson, what's it been like going out and talking to people about the campaign?
Well, it's been a learning experience. It's definitely different than what I thought it would be. I've been talking to a lot of the business owners and basically what their concerns are right now with the city. And that's basically the state of the economy and getting more tourists in town. And that's basically what I've been doing right now.
We're talking with candidates for the Sitka Assembly on Raven Radio, and the election is October 2nd. We should tell you there are five candidates running, and there are three seats open. The seat held by Phyllis Hackett is up for re-election, obviously. That's why she's running for re-election. Mim McConnell's seat is up. She's running for mayor. If she's elected mayor, that seat, well, if she's not elected mayor, that seat, she's off the assembly anyway. Just trying to kind of make sure that this is a very convoluted thing to explain, isn't it? And then also Bill Payden's seat. Of course, he was appointed to fill the term, the remainder of the term that Terry Blake was elected to, and Terry moved to Texas. So Bill Payden serving in that role. So three assembly seats open on the October ballot. And if you have a question for any of these folks, you can give us a call, 747-5877. We'd love to hear from you. Rob Woolsey's waiting to answer the phones. And let's begin with a pretty general question. If elected to the assembly, what is your biggest priority for Sitka? And we'll begin, Matt, with you, please.
My biggest priority with Sitka is to work with the community and the city and the assembly to come up with a step in the right direction to solving our affordable housing issue. We all know it's a problem. It's everybody from the young folks who have recently arrived here or returned from college or just graduated high school and see that they have little future here because they can't afford to buy a house or pay rent for that matter. And one of the ways to do that would be exploring the different options with the bench lands. The ad hoc group that recently presented to the assembly offered some good options, and I think we need to explore that and get the bench lands off the city's plate and into public ownership and see if we can do that in a way that guarantees small size lots that could be affordable houses.
All right. Phyllis Hackett, biggest priority if reelected.
You know, the biggest priority for me is the same priority I've had all along, and that is fostering working together, collaborative effort, and public process with all of our issues. I think that we're a small community of 9,000 people, isolated, and we're a model community to be able to really bring our great minds together and come to solutions that are equitable and agreeable to most people. So I think the process is really important to me, how we go about solving our issues. The issues will come and go and come and go, and there will always be issues, but solving them in a way that is equitable is important to me.
All right. Dallas Peavy, your biggest priority if elected to the Assembly. Dallas Peavy, excuse me. Aaron Swanson, I had the list in my head. Aaron, I apologize. Aaron Swanson, your biggest priority if elected to the Assembly. You can call me whatever you want for the rest of the show for that.
Well, Ed, my biggest priority would probably be to get economic growth into Sitka and listen to the people, what they want in terms of getting that economic growth to happen, whether it be a deep water dock to draw in more tourists.
All right. And Michelle Putz?
I guess, you know, housing and the economy are important ones, but I guess the way that I see us getting to that point is by coming up with a strategy for the assembly actually working those things out. Sometimes the assembly is seen as essentially putting out some of the spot fires that come up, the zoning issues, the little planning issues, the things that come up. I think we need to come up with a strategy to start using some of our plans and think ahead and try to come up with a way to deal with the housing issues and the economic issues. So I think looking at some strategies, looking at ways to bring our plans in, working with some of the commissions to help us strategize and help us come up with some solutions is going to be a way to get to those fixes.
747-5877, the number to call if you have a question. Again, 747-5877. And what we've just been talking about is a nice segue into this listener-submitted question from before we were on the air. We're going to begin with Phyllis Hackett on this one. We're kind of going around who we start with, just for those of you at home, so you know how this is working. Phyllis, this listener, and this is for everybody, but when people talk about economic development, they often talk about visitors and cruise ships. And this person says, what about family wage jobs or new industry? So they want to know from each of you, how do you define economic development and what would you like to see happen in Sitka? Phyllis Hackett, beginning with you.
Family wage jobs is a real key, and I think it is a really good question and a very good thing to think about, because when we talk about blanket economic development and bringing in more cruise ships and this or that, a lot of jobs don't really provide family wage jobs. I believe we need to bring in some new business and some new industry. And we really can't do that until we can supply those businesses with power. So once we do get Blue Lake Dam online, I would see a new Marine Service Center bringing in some family wage jobs. That's a very high priority in my book. Other businesses, oh, who knows? All kinds of options out there once we can supply power. Hopefully we'll have somebody back who would be interested in starting a business to deal with fish waste, or perhaps our recycling, and increase that and create jobs that way. I think that the Shelton Jackson campus and Alaska Arts Southeast has done an incredible job over there with our economic development, and I see them being a real driver. And I believe that they will be bringing in more family jobs as they go along with the Sitka Sound Science Center. And I'll stop there and pass on.
Okay. Aaron Swanson, family wage jobs, new industry. How do you define economic development?
Well, I think there definitely needs to be some more family wage jobs. The part-time ones that you get in the summer are definitely not family waged. If you're going to promote more industries to come to town, which I think is a good idea, you're going to have to find new ways to do it. I know right now that sometimes the assembly gives loans to people that want to start a new business to encourage them to do that, and I like that idea.
All right. We have a caller on the line. We're going to get to you in just a second. We want to finish this round of questions. Michelle Putz, how do you define economic development?
I don't know if I know how I define economic development. I do know that the Sitka Economic Development Association, SEDA, I like the fact that they did an economic forum asking businesses what was important to them. I think a lot of great ideas may have come out of that. Maybe not all of them could be chosen at that time, but I think that there's others that could come of it. And I know one thing I've been asking people, you know, it's hard to bring hardcore industry here because shipping is so expensive. Shipping something in to make it and then shipping out. I'm getting a thumbs down from Aaron. but shipping out is very expensive. So is there something we could do that has, that doesn't necessarily require that? Could we bring computer programmers here? Could we bring some sort of economic development that has people come here and get high wage jobs, but not necessarily have to ship a whole lot in and out all the time? So that's kind of an idea. But yeah, go back to that CETA summit and see what ideas came out of that.
Okay. And lastly, before we go to the caller, Matt Hunter, your definition of economic development, what you'd like to see happen here in Sitka?
Economic development does not necessarily need to be new industry. It just needs to be the creation of additional jobs and preferably jobs with benefits that would benefit someone who wants to raise a family in Sitka. Phyllis mentioned the Samuel Cove Industrial Park and the ability to do anything we want with that property. I think we should do that Marine Service Center, and if we can find a way to do it that wouldn't harm existing service centers, and actually expand that, because the fishing fleet's suffering, and I understand other boat users are going elsewhere for that service. Anything that provides more jobs and does so in a way that maintains the unique atmosphere of this community. We have a very special place here. We're heavy in the arts. The Fine Arts Camp has just started what they're going to be doing. They had over 800 students, I believe, this past year, and that's amazing. You have the Sitka Sound Science Center. Those institutions are going to really grow our education and services sector of our economy.
All right, 747-5877, the number to call if you have a question. We have Brian on the line. Brian, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Ed. First, I just wanted to say thank you for Raven having this opportunity for people to comment.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind?
Let's see. There's been a lot of talk lately about a proposal from the city staff for the assembly to change the way that large land sales are made by the city. Right now, if there's a large land sale of over $1 million asset, the city is required to have a vote of the people to approve land sales like that. And there's a proposal by the staff to change that, I think basically to take that opportunity to vote on those large deals away. And I was just wondering if these folks were elected, whether they would support that, that change that would take away citizens' right to vote on those large land deals, or whether they would oppose that. And lastly, I just wanted to thank all the candidates for their interest in Sitka and willingness to go through this process.
All right. Thanks, Brian, very much. So this is a deal. It's actually, just to clarify, I think it's $500,000 for a sale, $750,000 for a lease, and it would change it from a mandatory vote that the citizens have to vote to an advisory vote where the assembly can ask citizens to vote if they want to. Aaron Swanson, it is your turn to begin. Where do you stand on this one?
I think that it should stay a mandatory vote because if I'm not elected, I'd like to have a say myself if certain lands are going to be going for a high price or a low price and if they should actually go for that.
All right. Michelle Putz?
I agree. I think the mandatory vote is the way to go. I think part of what the city's looking into is, can they legally do that? I sure hope we can legally do that because I support the vote.
And Matt Hunter?
It's difficult to take away rights, or I definitely sympathize with those who want a say. My understanding from looking at the state constitution and the assembly packet, a lot of the issue here is it may be unconstitutional for the anybody other than the elected assembly to dispose of municipal assets. And if that is the case, my question would be, does it put the assembly at a liability, or is the city at a legal liability? Could we be sued over having this on our books by a developer who wants to come in and the assembly says we want to do it, but we have to have a vote? If it's truly a legal liability and the city could be hurt through the courts because of this law that may violate the Alaska Constitution, then I would really look hard at how we'd change that. But I definitely sympathize with the need for us to have the input, because especially in Sitka, it could be such a big change.
All right, Phyllis Hackett.
Yeah, I'm a very strong public process person, and I like the mandatory vote. I like the ordinance the way it stands now. I think Matt has done a good job of summarizing what the situation is, and at this point, I don't see any reason to rush into a decision on this. I haven't seen any heavy hands over us saying that we as a community need to come in line with the Constitution if that is in fact how the Constitution reads. I've read it and I've read it again and again, and it's really hard to translate legal language often. So we may need to go to outside counsel to help get a determination on this. But at this point in time, I like the public having a say. I think they should always have a say. And so I would keep it mandatory if that is something we're allowed to do. And we don't really know that yet.
All right. Thanks very much. 747-5877 if you have a question for one of the candidates. We have Lorraine on the air. Good afternoon. Good evening, Lorraine. What's on your mind?
I am a bike rider, and I would like to not see the roads go to dirt roads, because then it would be impossible for me to ride my bike safely. And I was wondering if perhaps we couldn't get some federal funding to help us with the roads.
All right. Thanks, Lorraine. You broke up a little bit there, but I think you said you're a bike rider. You don't want the roads to go back to gravel, and you're wondering if there's federal funding available. Michelle Putz, this question begins with you.
I was one of the people who looked into the road stuff, and it was amazing to me the cost of our roads and maintaining them. I think we all agree we'd like to keep all the roads nicely maintained and in concrete or the blacktop or whatever we have them in. I don't know if we'll be able to afford that over time. I certainly think we can look into funding. I know that working with the tribes, they get some funding for keeping roads maintained, so that can help. But whether there's federal funding for city roads, I don't know the answer to that. It's certainly worth looking into.
All right. And moving around the circle here, Matt Hunter.
I agree that there's probably very few people in Sitka who would advocate for gravel roads. I think we should look at all the possibilities and not say no right away to the possibility of some roads reverting to gravel. If it ends up being $1 million savings a year for a road that's traveled by 50 cars a day, that might be worth it. I am not, I'm definitely not going to try to make roads turn to gravel. I want to find any way to keep them paved that we can, but there are some challenges there with funding. As to accepting federal grants and federal monies, if there's any opportunity out there, or if anybody knows of any the city's not using, please let us know, because we're all in this together. I mean, we all use the roads.
All right. Phyllis Hackett.
We are all in this together, and I also worked on the roads committee and have worked quite a bit on roads. I don't want us to go backwards. I'm also a bike rider, and aside from that, I don't want to go backwards. But the cost of maintaining it is astronomical, and a community of 9,000 being able to afford that cost over the long run is asking a lot, especially with all the other infrastructure needs that we have. We will be pulling people together at the community. Hopefully, we'll get really good participation. It's really key. Anybody listening, keep your eyes open, because we'll be pulling people together and having some public meetings to discuss this very issue and talk to people about prioritizing which roads we should keep paved for sure and which roads may be able to revert to gravel, and try and get some sort of a list going of community priorities, and then we can figure out what kind of costs we're really looking at and then search for funding. If there is federal funding available, like Matt said, surely let us know. The city is pretty darn good, Public Works, about searching for funding, and federal funding is certainly never ignored. So if it was there, I would be happily surprised.
All right. Aaron Swanson, on road funding, what are your thoughts?
I definitely don't want to see the roads reverted back to gravel. I know that in the discussions that they have had, the roads that they have been talking about reverting back to gravel would be roads that are less traveled by traffic. As far as federal funding, I'm not sure if there is any for that, but it would definitely be something worth looking into.
All right. Lorraine, thanks for your question very much. We have Stephen on Facebook, and his question is, what ideas do you have? This will be Matt Hunter. We'll begin with you. What ideas do you have for diversifying our economy so that we do not need to rely on vicissitudinal funding sources like tourism and the state budget? How do we diversify our economy so we're not dependent on tourism and the state budget? Matt Hunter.
Wow. We have a relatively diverse economy compared to other Southeast communities already, with our schools and our health care and our federal entities here. As to actually coming up with new industries, that's up to the public to come up with ideas, and businessmen to come to the assembly. As Aaron said, we have the economic development money that we can give loans to organizations to start jobs. We need to have power. If we're going to have practically any industry, we've got to have that power. So the dam will be a step in the right direction there. And I think we can definitely expand the existing businesses that we have. And we'll see a lot of growth come out of Sheldon Jackson campus as well, I hope.
All right. Phyllis Hackett, how do we put the economic eggs in many baskets?
Well, you know, as Matt said, we're really fortunate here in Sitka, and it is one of the things that has helped us stay strong through this time period. We have a very diversified economy, and along with the things that Matt mentioned, I think we need to pay a lot of attention to supporting what we do have here. The community members need to really pay good, solid attention to supporting our local community, buying local, keeping our dollars here in town. There's an awful lot of dollars that leave town, and I know for people it appears to be a lot less expensive to shop out of town and to get services out of town because they're less expensive. But the price that we pay down the road with our increased fees because our community is not being supported by our local residents is pretty high price to pay. So I would encourage everybody And I think it is a really important part of economic development. I would encourage everybody to try and be forward-thinking and look at what costs they're not seeing when they choose to get their services elsewhere. I think it's critically important.
All right. Aaron Swanson, economic diversity, how does that happen?
Well, I think, excuse me, I think just like Phyllis was saying, that looking local first is a good way to start promoting, you know, new industry in Sitka, I think is definitely going to stimulate the economy because they're going to create new jobs, keep the money here. And, you know, I'm kind of concerned about the quest for power. I just hope that it doesn't scare people away with the increased rates.
The competitiveness of those increased rates, I think a lot of people's minds. Michelle puts economic diversity. How do we achieve that?
Well, I agree with the other folks here. We are lucky to have an economically diverse community supporting local, absolutely, and you know an idea of. Not just, you know, support local and say that on the radio, but give people specific ideas. You know, when you want to go out shopping for your next birthday present or Christmas present for somebody, before you go online, go to 3 stores in town and see if you see something you could purchase there. And different ideas like that. I also see education as another way to diversify the economy, like bring people here to learn, try to help UAS be supported. Virtual jobs, like I said, teaching like computer programming and other virtual jobs where you can live in Sitka but not necessarily have to be where the job is at. Somehow find those people to come here. So support what we have, support the fishermen, support the businesses, support the industries we have, and then look at a few more other ideas.